This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1393. Why does police brutality happen in the United States?
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Denver and Portland, USA. In this second episode in our series on civil rights in the US, we'll look at police brutality, how and why it happens, and what we might do to stop it. This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Jessica, we are back here in this second episode in this special series that we're doing of episodes, guys, on civil rights in the United States, because there's been a lot of unrest, a lot of protests in the streets, and we want our listeners to really be clued in into what's going on, our take, our perspective on what's happening as we're watching it in our streets, literally, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anytime you just see a news article and all you see is pictures of fires and stuff, and I don't know, maybe you think it's happening everywhere, or maybe you think it's blown out of proportion. I don't know. But guys, we're here to give you like our firsthand takes on what's happening around us right now.
Exactly. And just a few weeks ago, we gave you guys a rundown of the 12 most important events throughout history that kind of brought us to this big moment in history right now. Right. Yes. And today, though, we're going to take another angle at this issue. And that is, today we're going to talk about police brutality and essentially the systems that are really keeping the police force and not being accountable, keeping them away from accountability for their actions. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. The reason why we're doing this series, guys, is because we have had so many insightful questions from you, from listeners. And there was a question about this as well. And this student said, let's see. Okay. This is a great question. Okay. So in general, he says, is racism really so ingrained in the US? Or is it that most racists try and join the police in order to hold sway? That's a great phrase. Ooh, yeah. Over common citizens and give vent to their abject instincts. And then he says, couple that with the absurd militarization of police departments, and these dramatic occurrences are not difficult to explain. So again, very insightful.
Yeah, very insightful from our listener. Thank you to our listener who contributed that question. Such a good question. I mean, where do you want to start with this episode today, Jessica? What should we talk about first?
Well, let's directly address what he's asking about, because it is such an interesting observation, right? Yeah. So he's wondering, right, like, is racism so ingrained in the US? And we did touch on this last time in the timeline episode, guys. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Remember, I hope you guys listened to that bonus, but we talked about institutional racism, where it's a part of institutions like the police department, as well as systemic racism, where it's actually built into our laws and how we address people of color.
Yes.
So, yes, it is ingrained. So that's the first answer. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about this next question? Do you think racists like just would try to join the police so they could have that power?
Yeah, I've been talking about this lately with some friends and we've been reflecting on this. You know, it's really hard to say. I think obviously everyone's different. It's hard to broad brush, you know, a generalization here. But I do think that they're, you know, maybe certain personalities are driven to join the police force. It may not be racism, right? Because it's a very complicated thing, racism, but maybe it's a wanting to have power over people that could manifest as racism and violence against, you know, minority communities, or it could be a sense of like fear. Maybe they don't have something stable going on at home. That kind of thing, I think, is probably happening. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, definitely. I think if we just, you know, try and take a broad look at this and what is the population that police departments generally draw from, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about like college graduates for the most part. We're not talking about people. I mean, people don't go to school and study law and then become a policeman. No, they become a lawyer, right? Yeah. And so if there you couple that lack of education, which and couple that with maybe how one grew up and watching that show Cops and really just glorifying violence. Yeah. There's this whole episode, there's this whole podcast about that show Cops, which is fascinating. A New York Times reporter, I think, did it. But if you like think about how people grow up and where they come from and then who's likely to want that gun and want that free, you know, like reign to use it, then not going to be good consequences.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jessica. If you're a kid growing up in a lower middle class household, right, and you're not getting the messages from your parents that you're going to go to college, you're going to become you know, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is, an engineer, you're not getting those messages. Maybe you are at home watching something like Cops, and we have so many more TV shows that do glorify that, right? It's a huge genre of TV show, then maybe you are aspiring to that. Maybe you're seeing that as a heroic future for yourself, right? And maybe you're
that's how it's presented. Yeah.
And maybe it's with good intentions as that kid, right? That 17-year-old kid, but maybe when you are out in the world and there's fear added into that and power, it creates racism, you know?
Right, exactly. And I mean, I do have more than a few cops in my extended family. And I can't tell you like how hard that job is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's so difficult. Like, how can we make that job easier in some ways? Like, there's no counseling. I mean, the some of these events that the people in my family had to go through, and they definitely had PTSD after that, and there was no counseling. And so how do they deal with those emotions? They don't.
Well,
right?
That's
and then
point.
It comes out violently.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And just to extend off of that, it's likely that there are a lot of, I believe a lot of people come into the police force from the military. Right.
Yes.
So imagine coming as a veteran and you're already suffering, as you said, with PTSD, you're suffering, you've been in combat on the ground in Afghanistan, who knows? And then you naturally your career progression, you're joining the police force and you're being given a gun and you haven't dealt with your own PTSD. That's a recipe for disaster. So I think a lot of it is, you know, who goes into the police force? How do we recruit? How do we pay? Right. And how do we train and make and screen and make sure that these are the people we want on the streets?
Right. And so to extend off of that training, right? Like, how are we educating people before they're put on the streets? This is a huge part of the announcement that was made about Minneapolis dismantling, which means breaking apart, also disbanding, which also means breaking apart. They're dismantling their police force, which is a huge headline. We're like, what? You're not going to have police anymore? Like, what? What does that mean? So I don't think they have figured out exactly what that means yet, but they just know that they're taking money away from the police force, and what it looks like today is not going to exist soon.
Exactly.
Right? They want to completely redo it.
Exactly. And you know, for our listeners, another phrase that you guys could be listening for if you're reading the news is defunding the police is another thing.
Right.
Now, because this has been thrown around like hotcakes in the last week in the news, right? Everyone is calling for this. But one thing that makes me nervous is I want to know what that means. What exactly are we calling for, right? Because I'm all about like if I've heard people talking about, you know, redirecting funds to social services and education so that we can try to combat crime at the beginning, right? Right. You know,
right.
Educating people in the right environments from the start. But I really want to know, because there's clearly going to be a lag time in which our new systems just are catching on and we're learning how to make it work, and what's going to happen then in that in-between space.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be successes and failures along the way, because this is a completely new thing for America to try and even do this. Yeah. I mean, this is what's so amazing to me, guys, is that the protests worked. Right? Yeah. I mean, how often have we seen huge movements like the women's marches, right?
I mean,
that didn't really change much, but now I feel like this is actually doing something.
It is. I think it's changing public opinion. I think it's swaying just in the same way that the whole wave of gay marriage came in around 2013. All of a sudden, government was ready to make the change. I think this is creating that social change, the way people think. But I wouldn't be quite so quick to say it's worked, right? Because we actually need to see real change. And I think, you know, we've had protests, we've had riots in the past, and nothing has changed. So I would wait to see what really does come out of this. Obviously, this is going to, decisions are going to be made on a state level, right? I mean, that's one thing that's unique about our country, is a lot of decisions are made on the state level, not so much on the national level. So something could be very different in Kentucky versus California, right?
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I mean, this is a lesson we learned from the coronavirus, is that we don't have leadership right now that is willing to take control and instead just wants to send out tweets to cause more violence and make people mad.
Yeah.
Right. So we have no leadership right now, basically. And, so, yeah, I mean, for good or for ill, this is up to like the individual states and maybe sometimes individual cities.
Yeah.
Because the city's police force could have different rules than like another city's, right?
That's true. I mean, one thing that I would like to see here is voter registration happening at these riots. You know, that's something that I, you know, at these protests, I would like to see people on the ground. Maybe that is happening. I'm not sure. I haven't been down there. But I would like to see people actively registering people to vote, because that is really what the first step needs to be. You know, we can be out in the streets protesting all day and all night, but if leadership doesn't change, absolutely nothing will change. Right?
Exactly. Oh my God. And it's coming so soon. Okay. So let's get back to the protests themselves, guys, because we had another good question from a listener. Is there any difference between looting and vandalizing? So that's a great question. Vandalizing just means like causing property damage, right? So maybe spray painting or breaking something. But looting is actually stealing things from stores.
Yep.
So unfortunately, both of those criminal actions have been occurring at the protests, which takes away the message of the protest.
Yeah.
So it's really, really unfortunate that people would be taking advantage of this time for personal gain. And I mean, if I look at the conservative people in my family, they're taking those acts, those violent acts, as a whole reason to discredit the protests in general.
Yeah.
So it's really hurting the message.
It really is. And sometimes I wonder if there are outside groups that are coming in and are causing are doing most of the looting and vandalizing. Because I do think that there's, you know, obviously the core group of protesters that just want change, or they just, you know, I don't know that it's that group that's causing the damage as much. I think there may be other groups coming in that want to sow division in our country. And I think we're going to find out more about that in the future. I think we're going to find out who's really involved, honestly.
It will be revealed. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, there are.
Where that's coming from. Yeah, but exactly. I know in Portland, just one more note about that, the Saturday protests, the peaceful protesters were actually stopping people from committing these crimes. Like they were actually self-policing to make sure that the protest was carried out.
Awesome.
So it is possible.
I love that. I love that. That's so good. Yeah. So
let's answer. let's go back to the police brutality question. So why is it so hard to stop this? Like, why can't we just punish the bad people and then other people learn not to do it? Right.
That's a great question. Sorry about that. That's a great question. So unions are a big thing, apparently, from what I have learned. So guys, listen to the episode from the Daily podcast from the New York Times. It'll go into more detail on this. An episode called The Systems That Protect the Police. So what they talked about in that episode is the impact of unions, right? Where police officers pay to be a part of this club that kind of supports them, defends them. And in many places, there's a time and place for a union, teachers' unions. But sure. I think a lot of times, bad things can happen through these unions. For example, it becomes hard for a new police chief to come in and clean up a department if a certain act of abuse was not punished in the past by another officer, right? When the next person commits that act of abuse, it becomes hard because there's already that precedent that act was not punished. Things like that.
That is so shocking. So let me give you guys an example of that, okay? So let's take Minneapolis, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, that 30 years ago, right? Or 20 years ago or whatever, a policeman had killed someone by putting his knee on his neck, let's say, right? Same thing, right?
Yeah.
And then it happens again with George Floyd. The union could come in and say, look, this happened before and that policeman didn't get punished 20 years ago. So you can't punish my guy right now.
Right. That's the idea. And so guys, I want you to, you know, consider this episode a jumping off point for you. It's not the be all end all. I like that phrase, by the way, be all end all. Go and listen to that episode. It's a great way to immerse yourself in native English and really get the facts, really understand this issue of the unions and the police department in depth. I really want you guys to do that. Yeah.
I am going to do that too, guys, because I didn't listen to that either. So let's finish up today, Lindsay, by talking about like our future hopes. Like, so it does seem like more mayors are sort of committing to defunding police to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. So where should those funds go?
Yeah. Like I said before, I would like, and again, we're just brand new with this idea. I want to make sure that we really prepare and understand exactly what we're doing. But I think that a lot of our systems, social systems, are underfunded. You know, you know, kids' education, daycare, all those things like that eventually could contribute to crime later down the line, I think need to be buffed up and need to be supported more with funds. We could redirect those funds. Yeah.
Schools and education for sure. Mm-hmm. As someone who, you know, my son is in the public school system, we need a lot more money for education, guys. But also one of the biggest things, honestly, is mental health.
Yes.
This also, just touching back to that timeline we did on the last episode, another thing that came out of the Reagan era was a lot of mental hospitals and resources were defunded, were closed. Mm-hmm. And so those people were put on the streets, which increased homelessness and crime, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading an article that says, I think like half, so I'm looking at it now, half of police killings involve someone living with a mental illness or disability. Oh. And guys, the police are not trained in how to deal with people experiencing those problems. So instead, we need experts. We need counselors. We need people who specialize in mental health. Mm-hmm. And we need more facilities for people experiencing those problems. Think of all the issues that are going to come from the coronavirus, right? From people losing homes and just everything. Mm-hmm. We're going to need more
For sure.
Counseling.
Yeah. And we need to pay those people better too. I don't think the counselors are necessarily paid very well in that area of social work. So more people need to want to go into that field. So that means better pay, right?
For sure.
I think that's a really good point, Jessica, that we just can't leave out of this whole issue. Mental health and education. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, keep your eyes open for headlines and read these articles when you see these terms, defund the police, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really just a fascinating time to be alive right now, guys. Mm-hmm. And for good or ill, our world is changing. I mean, as Americans, right? Like Lindsay and I are feeling this. Mm-hmm. This is momentous. And so, guys, it is very important for us that you would understand what's happening, because we know you have questions. So please send us your questions if you, you know, have more about this, and I'm sure you do. You could send them to Lindsay at allearsenglish.com, or me, Jessica, at allearsenglish.com.
Absolutely. And guys, in the next episode in this series, we're going to take a look at this from the political angle. All right. We're going to look at the Lord. Trump presidency. I don't know how we're going to do it in 15 to 20 minutes, but we're going to try. and we're going to look because that obviously has brought us to this head of this moment, right?
I don't think
we'd be in this place if, you know, maybe we would, because this is still an issue that's, you know, long-term issue. But I think that Trump has really stoked the fires, the flames here. So, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait for that conversation.
It's gonna be a good one. It'll be a good one. So guys, tune in. It'll be in a couple of weeks down the road. All right. Very awesome. Cool. Okay, Jessica, good to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you, Lindsay.
Okay, bye. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.